Please turn to Jeremiah 44:13. For those just joining us, the Jews, after decades of Jeremiah being told by God to warn the Jews that they needed to repent and turn away from their wickedness or judgment was going to come, it came. It came in the form of Babylon destroying Jerusalem and pretty much eliminating all life that was in Jerusalem except for a few people, a few tens of thousands of people that were hauled off to Babylon as slaves. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did leave just a handful of stragglers in the land of Judah with a governor, Gedaliah, that had committed to himself to Nebuchadnezzar. I will take these stragglers and watch over them, but I'm going to be obedient to you, Nebuchadnezzar, because that's what the prophet Jeremiah says to do. We're supposed to accept our judgment. Well, a wicked man from the army of Israel, he assassinated Gedaliah and a bunch of other people because he considered Gedaliah a traitor. And then the people that were left, they said, okay, now Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and kill us because we killed Gedaliah. And so they asked Jeremiah, what are we supposed to do? Jeremiah sought the Lord, heard clearly from God, don't go back to Egypt. Just stay here. Nebuchadnezzar is really not going to be mad enough to kill you. And so you'll be safe if you stay here. Well, then the people said, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to Egypt. And so then we're picking it up now and Jeremiah went with them. He stayed with the sheep that were basically wolves in sheep's clothing, Jews. He stayed with them to be their prophet, to continue to be their prophet. And then he tells them, he gives them one more chance. They're down in Egypt together. And he says, I'm telling you, you think you've come here to spare your life. You're going to have food. You're going to be safe. Everything is going to be okay. I'm telling you that by coming here, you're going to die. The very things you thought you were going to have, you're not going to have. You're not going to have food. You think you're not going to have the sword. You are going to have the sword. You're going to have pestilence. You're going to die here. Your only hope is to go back to Judah. So he stays as a prophet to the people that have defected, you know, gone down to Egypt in violation of God's commandment. He says, you got one more chance. If you don't go back to Judah, you're going to die here. And that's where we pick up at 44:13. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return and dwell, for none shall return except those who escape. So what they were thinking is, we'll just go down to Egypt for a while, and then we'll go back to our homeland. We'll go back to our homeland when things get better there, and you know somehow the political situation changes in the area of Jerusalem. And he says, if you want to go back, but you're not going to go back unless you go back now. That's what he's saying. So you don't listen to these people. They're saying, stay here in Egypt until things settle down. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Paphos, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word of the Lord that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. We're going to stay here. And a great multitude doesn't mean millions. It means the ones that were stragglers. So we're talking just a few thousand people. And no, we're not going to listen to you. We are not going to go back. And I would imagine there were some that were in the crowd saying, we're going to sneak out at night. We're going back. And the same thing for us. God is begging our people, he's begging us to tell people, you're going to die. If you live your life in complete rejection of God, you don't care about Jesus, you don't care about eternal life, you're going to die. And everybody else is telling, don't listen to those not case Christians. Just leave, you know, just forget them. Just ignore them. This is where you want to stay. You want to stay in the world. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, this is where you want to stay. This is where life's at. And we're begging them not to. And there's some that listen to us. There's just some. But most say, we're not going to do it. I am not going to give my life to Jesus. And what's going to happen when they live life and they keep doing that? They're going to die in. They're going to go to the eternal separation from God in a place called the lake of fire ultimately. And it's because we know that's true that we're begging him. Jeremiah knew it was true. The only salvation is to get back. That's why he begged them. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible, but extra-biblical history says that the people in Egypt that said this to him, we will not listen to you. He kept talking to him. Jeremiah exasperated him to the point where they stoned him to death. So Jeremiah was killed by the very people that he was trying to minister to because they just didn't want to hear it anymore. Chapter 44, verse 17, and this is again the people talking back at Jeremiah. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. This tells you what it was like in Jerusalem. Everybody was worshiping idols and particularly worshiping the Queen of Heaven. As we talked about last week, Queen of the if you talk to a Catholic today, what do you think of Mary? Oh, she's the Queen of Heaven. Yeah, she's the co-redemptrix with Jesus. And so that it's the same thing. There's this distorted, you know, Satan moves into the minds of people and wants to worship instead of God our Father which art in heaven. They want to worship the Queen in heaven because it's an in-your-face to God. That's what Jesus taught us. This is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And there's only one God. There's not idols. And so, yeah, back in Judah, we're doing all this. And what, because the people back in Judah were doing all that, and in Jerusalem were doing all that, what happened? They got judged. But for then, when we were doing that in the land of Judah, in Jerusalem and stuff, then we had plenty of food. We're well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Isn't that crazy? So Jeremiah warns them, you got to stop worshiping, you know, decades earlier, you got to stop worshiping idols and do all this stuff. You worship only God. The first commandment is you, the Lord your God, he alone is God, and you make no idols. And so then the people are worshiping idols and they go, nothing's happening. We got plenty of food. We got safety. Nobody's attacking us at first. And so then the attacks start coming and then they get judged. And so now they haven't been able to worship the Queen of Heaven and they think that it's because they're not worshiping the Queen of Heaven that the judgment came. In a sense, it's a form of the unforgivable sin. It's a form of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because when Jesus was performing miracles to demonstrate that he was truly God in flesh in their midst, telling them about the relationship with God, the scribes and Pharisees attributed Jesus' powers to Beelzebub, the dung god, to Satan. They said, you're doing this by the powers of Satan. Well, if the very power of God to work miracles of healing the blind and opening the eyes of the blind and healing the sick and raising the dead, if that's being attributed to the powers of Satan, but God was doing it to demonstrate to the people, certainly this has to be the true Messiah, then you're done. You can't, there's nothing you can do to set them straight. So if God brings judgment and then people think, well, it's because we're not worshiping the Queen of Heaven that this is coming. Instead, because we are worshiping the Queen of Heaven, the true God gave judgment to us and we need to repent and get back to him. If you twist it all around in your mind, which is what Satan deceives them into doing, you're done. There's nothing you can do to minister to them. In fact, and I just called, the reason I called Dan and Mike Moe is because they went into the Slot Canyons in Page, Arizona. And to get into the Slot Canyons, you have to go to the Native Americans who bus you into the place. And so every time I've gone, which is three times, I like to talk to the Indians that are there. And because I want to understand their heritage and everything. And one of them, a lady, two times ago, she was explaining to me that they feel like the whole reason they lost their land is because they didn't worship the spirit strong enough. And so it's the same thing. Because we weren't devoted enough, and she was stopping and throwing some stuff in the water, and she was doing a witchcraft ritual. And the last time I was there, the bus driver, he was chanting in the native language. And I was saying, so what are you saying? You know, what's the song that you're singing? And he wouldn't tell me the words. And I said, this is just what we do. And I go, well, when do you do it? I mean, do you go someplace? And is it like you get together in some kind of church kind of situation? No, we just, you know, there's people committed that just get together. And I go, so when do you do that? And he goes, we'll do it all night. And so, and then Dwayne Howe, I just mentioned to you during announcements that Dwayne Howe went to be with Jesus in the Amazon jungle. If you went back and listened to that study that I mentioned in October, and it's on our website, where he was talking about demon possession, when he was casting the demon out of that lady, I said it was a man, it was a lady, because I went back and listened to it, the demon went out of the lady. And so she's back to normal. And then the demons come back. And this is the middle of the night. They're praying over her in night for hours. And then the demon comes back. You know, what happened? Well, I went to the dance. They're dancing all night long in chants to demonic spirits, in service of demonic spirits. And then we have that right here. And that was the Native American culture into witchcraft and evil and wickedness. And in Sudan, talking to people about the satanic, demonic, witch doctor stuff, as soon as somebody asks the demons to give them power, because that was one of the, and this is on our website too, an interview with the Sudanese chaplains, this is how it would start. Somebody would get demon possessed in this particular way. They're setting up store, you know, with just wanting to sell their wares. And we're not talking about Walmart. We're talking about just a tin hut with just some stuff to sell. And somebody's selling big time next to you. You have the same stuff, and nobody comes to your booth. And so you go to the witch doctor, and he says, "This is what you do. You have to give this to. You have to do this for the spirits." And then he does this for the spirits, and then all of a sudden, people are coming to his booth. And then he gets possessed. And then it's, you need to give something else to stay in this level of support from the spirits. And then it's like, now you have to give me a son. You have to give human sacrifice. And people that testify of what goes on in Hollywood and the people that dedicate their lives to the enemy, Satan, of their souls, and they've admitted it, to become popular. To become global sensations. And, you know, it's real. And so that, these people are probably, some of them are possessed, and the possessed people are telling the people, no, 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 it's because you haven't worshiped the Queen of Heaven instead of God that these things are happening. So they get deceived into staying in that deception. It's really real. It still exists to this day. And They misunderstand the mercy of God. They were doing all this sinning, and they say, well, everything was fine because God was being merciful. And he was being merciful and long-suffering, wanting the people to repent under the testimony and the preaching of Jeremiah. But they wouldn't, and then the mercy ran out, and that's when the judgment came. So what phase do you think we're in America? Do you think that we're being just blessed by God because we're doing everything in obedience to God? So do you think we're probably in the place where the mercy is about to wear out and things are going to happen? You know, we just had our election, and Trump won yesterday. And everybody's excited about the Florida ballot. Did you hear about it in Florida? That they, Trump won in Florida. So that means more than 50% of the Florida voting population, voted for Trump. And then there was an initiative that was the baby killer initiative, was that they wanted to be able to change the state law in Florida to where an abortion could be performed until birth. And that got shot down. But it didn't get shot down because it didn't get a majority of the people in Florida. It got shot down because they didn't have 60%. So think about this. That means over half of the Florida population, which is elderly, which means they come from the Bible days. They come from the heritage of my generation that was more God-fearing. More than half, unless, and we're assuming there wasn't stuff going on with the voting, you know, but more than half of Floridians thought that it was going to be okay to kill babies in the womb until they were born. Now, we're excited that that didn't get passed, but it also is a warning to us. We're in the days of mercy, not blessing. You know, so God continue to be merciful to America. We can't say God bless America because America doesn't bless God. But we can say, God, let the mercy continue for a little while because we know we don't deserve the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And so chapter 44, verse 19, the women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? We said, husband, I'm going to go burn incense and feed cakes to this idol god, Queen of Heaven. Okay, honey. Instead of what should a real man of Israel do? Not in your life. You're going to bring the wrath of God down on our family. Don't you know our heritage? Don't you know what happens with it? What did Jeremiah tell us? What happened in Jerusalem because of what Jeremiah told us? Because we're sinning against God. You put that idol away and get out of here. That's what they should have said. But the husbands were all in on it. And, you know, so out of the worship of Mary, is it primarily a guy thing or a woman thing? There's no I looked it up. There's no clear statistics on who does the Hail Marys, men and women. But there is a statistic of who goes to Mass every week. And 40% of the women, 30% of the men within Catholicism. So it's really the same dynamic here, because even the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 5 says that when a country is reaching the point of collapse, it's the women that rule. Because it's contrary again. It's like God is the father. They worship the Queen of Heaven. God has put man in charge of the family. Women get put in charge of the family. Men are supposed to rule over the nation. Women rule over the nation. And so it just shows that the women are driven primarily to this Queen of Heaven and bring their husbands into it, because it's a deception. Everything's turned upside down. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burn in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, your princes, going way back, you know, for decades, the Jews have been violating the first and second commandment, worshiping idols, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come into his mind? All these decades, I do see you worshiping idols. I do know that you know that I detest you worshiping idols. And you do it anyway. And I notice. That's what Jeremiah is saying. So Lord could no longer bear it. That's the title of today. He could no longer, his mercy ran out. Because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without an inhabitant, as it is this day. No, judgment did not come to you because you didn't worship the Queen of Heaven. It's coming because you worship the Queen of Heaven, and because you misunderstood God, that he was long-suffering and waiting when you should have repented instead. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as it is this day. Don't blame it on not sacrificing to the Queen of Heaven. Verse 24, moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. We're going to do that. And what he means by vows is, as the Lord lives, we shall worship the Queen of Heaven. can you imagine what that's like? And it's almost like saying, we bow down to Mary in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we're the church, we're Christians, and we bow down to Mary. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. You're soon going to be so judged that you're not going to be doing this. As the Lord lives, we're going to worship Queen of Mary. It's going to stop. And it's going to stop because you were spared judgment when Babylon came in to destroy Jerusalem and Judah. You survived. You're one of the few survivors. And then you keep on doing it down here in Egypt. You're not going to be saying you're worshiping me while you're worshiping idols, because you are about to be judged. You're going to die. And behold, verse 27, I will watch over them for adversity. I will now watch over these people for adversity, not for good. And all the men of Judah who were in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escape the sword shall return to land from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words shall stand. Mine or theirs. So he really what God is doing is saying, I am sifting. Everybody that refuses to listen to my word is going to die. But there's going to be the few that listen, the few that got carried off to Babylon. They're going to come back to Judah. Because they listened to Jeremiah, and they did so. They escaped the sword, and they're going to come back. You people listen to me right now, and you escape, you'll come back. But otherwise, nothing but adversity is going to come. So God is sifting. So who was it that repopulated the nation of Israel, or actually the land of Israel, because they weren't a nation ever again until 1948? Israel was never a sovereign nation from the time we're reading here until 1948. So what allowed them to return? The descendants of people who feared God. So God just cleaned house. He goes, there's a genetic defect, a spiritually genetic defect here. People that will not listen. And so he's giving them every opportunity to repent, to turn away. They don't. He goes, okay, I'm cleaning you out. You're not going to go back into the land. The people who listen to Jeremiah, they're going to go back into the land. And we'll see who's right. You think everything's going to get good by worshiping the Queen of Heaven? See how that works out for you. The people have said, no, we're going to stop worshiping the Queen of Heaven, and we're going to listen to Jeremiah, and we're going to repent of our foolishness. They're going to be the ones that go back to the land, or their offspring. And so, and it would have been, thinking about if you were somebody that was God-fearing, it's not easy to get from Egypt, where they're living, up into Judah again. It's a 200-mile trip. You would have to be sneaking away because they would have considered you a traitor to leave them. But they would have lived. And this shall be a sign to you, verse 29, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life. As I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, who sought his life. This was fulfilled shortly after when Pharaoh, who was promising them, hey, be here and everything will be okay, and he was killed by his own people. He had lost a battle, and they believe that it's in history it's recorded that his own people killed him. So he's saying, here's the deal. You are listening to a man who is saying, come here, we'll protect you, you won't be touched here. And this could be applicable to us too. Because we gotta remind ourselves, we're thankful that Trump's in office. But what is he? A man. He's a man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cursed is the man who trusts a man. Because he could be gone tomorrow. And then what's going to happen? Then all of a sudden we go, oh great, you know, we're going to drain the swamp and this and this and all this. We're going to bring restoring justice and the economy is going to come back. You know, gold is way down. The market's way up. The real in Iran is down. Everything's going to be okay. But that's only if somebody doesn't, if he doesn't die. And if he's able to accomplish as a mere man what takes more than a mere man to accomplish. You can't clean up the swamp. It's too big and too deep. So it's going to be, we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying that our trust is in God, because nobody takes him out and nobody can mess with him. And everything that's happening, God allowed these people to have decades of foolishness, because he's a merciful God. But when it was time to judge, there was nothing that stopped it. It was done and over. Chapter 45, verse 1, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in the book at the instruction of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So now we're going way back in time. Not way, way back. 605 B.C. compared to, you know, some 580-something B.C. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch, who is his scribe. So he's saying, okay, scribe, I need you. I have, you know, God is giving me things to say to the nations of the world, to the other nations around Israel. So I need you to write these down. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch, Baruch, you said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Now, why was Baruch grieved? It's 605 B.C. It's the fourth year of King Zedekiah. King Jehoiakim. It's 605 B.C. That's when Babylon actually did what Jeremiah had been saying he was going to do, and he came into Jerusalem, and he took Daniel and a whole bunch of other royal line and all the movers and shakers that were good guys back into Babylon. And so then, wouldn't we be concerned if somebody came in and just took over our country and everything? We'd be bummed. He goes, and Jeremiah says, hey, I know you're my scribe and you're bum, but let me tell you some stuff that's going to be going down. This is nothing. What just happened is nothing compared to the rest of what's going to happen. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built, I will break down. And what I have planted, I will pluck up. That is, this whole land. You're bummed that Babylon came down and broke down a wall and took some stuff and took a bunch of treasures out of the temple on this first time. You know, he went three times. First time, a little bit in 605, and then 598, second time, 586 is when he destroyed and Jerusalem. It says, so I am going to wipe the land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places, wherever you go. So, Baruch, you're writing down Jeremiah's words. And you're bummed because your stocks are down. You're going to lose your boat. You're going to lose your vacation home. You're not going to have medical care anymore and stuff. And, you know, don't be thinking the great things anymore. Those are over. The great days are over because now it's judgment time. So don't get over, you know, get over it. And now we got to write some more stuff. And there's some more stuff is all the judgment that's coming to the surrounding nations. And so at the same time, we're going to go back to Jeremiah 27:1, because we want to realize how much we're out of the sequence of events here before we get into the following chapters and to know why the following chapters are happening. So Jeremiah 27 verse 1 is the same time as Jeremiah 45. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, same king that we're talking about in chapter 45, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your necks, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, the king of Sidon, to the hand of the messengers who came to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. and command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve him. So now these emissaries were in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is saying, okay, Baruch, you know, this is what I want you to write down. Make all these yokes and say, and put it on your necks, because the God who created everything and can accomplish whatever he wants to, he's telling all you nations around Israel that you would better also surrender to Babylon. Because if you don't, if you think you're going to fight him, you're going to die. So I want you to submit to him, because he's my mouth, he's my judgment into the land. Going to verse 8, and it shall be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the kings of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, your sorcerers, who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. So in the same thing, Jeremiah was saying, defect to Babylon, you Jews, defect to Babylon, you're going to live. And the false prophets in the nation of Israel were going, no, Jeremiah is the false prophet. God will not let this place be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. Well, turns out the false prophets were wrong. Well, see, these other nations have their witch doctors. They have their false prophets. And they're all telling the king, we're not going to listen to him. We're not going to listen to the Jewish prophet. You're going to succeed. We fight Babylon. They won't take us. For they prophesy a lie to you, to remove you far from your land. And I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So how many of the nations decided to listen to Jeremiah while the emissaries were there? Zippo. And you know why? So then the rest of the chapters of Jeremiah, except for the final one, which rehearses why Judah was destroyed with King Zedekiah, it's all the judgment on these nations that were around them. And which to me, here's something we see in God's character, his nature. He always warns. And he warns, and he always knows that people don't like to listen. People in power, they don't listen to warnings. And another thing he accomplished, because he's always watching out for his chosen people, the Jews, he says, okay, nations, don't submit to Babylon. Their false witch doctors and everybody else tells them, no, fight Babylon. So what's going to happen? The nations are going to be destroyed by Babylon. And they were. Historically, they were all greatly reduced in population. What did that accomplish for the chosen people? For the chosen people, it made sure that when they did come back into the land, after King Cyrus made a decree when he took over, the Medo-Persians conquered the Babylonians. And in 538 BC, King Cyrus said, okay, you Jews can go back into your land. Now, if you read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, it wasn't an easy thing to come back into the land. They were being opposed by the nations that were around them. But what if those nations had tens of thousands of extra people that they didn't have at the time they're coming back? They would have been more likely to say, we're going to exterminate you, you Jews. But they couldn't, because they didn't listen to the prophet Jeremiah. They rebelled against Babylon. Babylon greatly reduced their populations and defeated them. And so when the Jews came back, they were only dealing with other people that were also greatly reduced in population because of the judgment that God brought on them through Babylon. Does everybody kind of follow that? So it really, we serve a God that can control all that. It's easy to control people. All you have to do is understand they're prideful and they reject everything that comes from God. And then you just send a prophet to warn them, because then the few that were warned, They would say, I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to be against this. Well, the same warning is for our country. We are supposed to turn away from slaughtering our babies. It's just that simple. We've got to warn people that judgment's coming. We've got to encourage people. We've got to not just talk about conservatives. So again, Florida red. So a conservative that was voting for Trump also said it's okay to slaughter babies. So the issue there is there's not a fear of God that really caused this election to go the way it was. It was conservatism. It was a better life. It was making things good again to the way it was. And we like justice. We like justice. But do you like justice because God says, thou shalt not? Or is it just because it's cultural you want justice? We have to get back to fear of God. And we are the messengers to tell people, it's not enough to be conservative. You know, you die, you stand before God. Why should I let you in? I voted Trump. You know, I voted Republican. It's not going to work. And you know, the same thing, we can pray for Trump to truly someday give his life to Jesus. It's going to be, you know, why should I let you in? Well, because I won twice, first time in 100 and some years. The Bible's applicable, isn't it? I mean, this stuff we're reading again today is so applicable to what's happening. You know, we're reading it today, but it was 2,500 years ago. And it applies to us making decisions and how we live and how we have our hearts tied to a hope in Jesus. And that we have run to that escape plan, Jesus. And we're not going to regret it. We're going to have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we pray that you would just be glorified as we, you know, desire to love you with a deeper love. To not be foolish and prideful like the people in Jeremiah's day. And in every way, even in our own personal lives, to walk with a deeper fear of you in a godly way, in a loving way, to just fear you because you are, as you told them, I am the God that created human beings. I am the God that created everything that's in the world. And I'm telling you, you gotta repent and do what I tell you. And that we would just recognize you are our creator and that we love you for how you so loved us that you sent Jesus to make a way for us to be forgiven for all our foolishness in rejecting you and your ways. And we just pray that you would just watch over this country, Lord. Watch over your people, Israel. Protect them, God, for the dangerous days that we know prophetically still lie ahead of them. And we know you'll keep your promises to them. They'll still be there when you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in this song.
To you, lifting up my hands in the name of Jesus, by your grace I stand. Just because you love me and I love your Son, I know your favor, unending love. It's the presence of your kingdom. your glory fills this place. And I see how much you love me when I look into your face. Nothing could be better. There's nothing I would trade for your favor, unending love. Unending love, your unending love.
Unending forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Being with our loving God forever because He loves us. God bless you. Keep you in His care till we can fellowship again.